How do you know if you had a good mom? I thought about that this week. What's the test? What would be a test? How do you know if you had a... Now, we all had moms. I've heard speakers start out, if you had a mother, be sure to say thank you. And I'm thinking, who didn't have a mother? We all had moms, but how do you know if you had a good mom? And I came together with the Gus test. If you want to test it out on your situation, I think among other things, good moms make sure their children are prepared to face the day before they go out the door. Good moms, for instance, will ask questions like, "Did you brush your teeth? Did you comb your hair? Did you wash your, did you tie your, did you take your pills?" That's what Lynn says to me every morning before I leave out the door. Did I take my pills? But why do good moms ask us questions like that? And I think it boils down to this. Good moms care. The reason they ask those kind of questions is they really care. Good moms want to see us prepared. And Jesus wanted to see his disciples prepared as well. That's what our scripture that Jody read to us is really all about. The first three gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all end the same way with Jesus telling the disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Go, go, go. Matthew records Jesus as saying it this way, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now Mark records Jesus as saying pretty much the same thing, "Go therefore, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." And then Jesus goes back to heaven in Mark's gospel. Luke has Jesus saying that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. And then he returns to heaven. And yet our text that Jody read to us this morning says, while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait. What's up with that? What's up with that? Go, go, go. No, stop, wait. Those seem to be opposites. Jesus orders his disciples to not do what he previously ordered them to do. What's up with that? In the words of Mom, Jesus knows his disciples are not ready to go out the door yet. Not without their hat and coat on. They're not ready. Not in light of the impending storm of persecution that would soon be raining down upon them. And so, like a good mom, or like a good New York City school bus driver who grabbed that student just before he stepped off the bus into the path of the oncoming car. How many saw that? That was a scary moment. Terrible tragedy was averted. That lady surely got a box of cookies from that boy's mom the next morning. But just like that, Jesus grabs his disciples by their belt loops, or I guess they didn't have trousers back in those days. He grabbed those boys by their toga straps, and he pulled them back onto the bus, the good old gospel bus. Jesus orders his disciples to not go running half-cocked out into the storm. There was an impending disaster of persecution coming. He tells them instead to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then and only then did Jesus say his disciples would be ready to go out and face the world. Are you ready to go out and face the world? A world where the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone new to devour? Are you ready to go out into that world? You know, zookeepers are losing their life because they forget the danger stalking around their zoos. There is a real danger in a real world that's prowling around out there. There is a real devil who is really searching for someone new to devour. It's a spiritual danger, but it's just as real. The Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And therefore, we are encouraged, before we go out the door, to take up the whole armor of God so that we'll be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. That's why Jesus wanted his disciples to be prepared, because he cared. Now, what are you and I doing to prepare? We have students here this morning who are preparing for graduation and what they will do after graduation. It's an exciting and a fearful time in their lives. It's an exciting and fearful time in the life of their parents, by the way, as parents wait to see if their children truly are prepared to go out there, where there are real dangers. We also have folks here who are preparing for marriage. Again, an exciting and a fearful time. Will they be prepared for the challenges that they'll have to face when their married life begins? We have folks here who are just starting up, and folks who are winding down their careers. Will they be prepared for the working or the non-working years? All things for which we try to prepare. For the real world, we say. The real world. Are you prepared for the real world out there? But what are we doing in here to prepare for the spiritual world that is out there as well? Jesus ordered. Think of this for a moment. Our text this morning says Jesus ordered his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait until they were better prepared. They weren't ready to go out there. So Jesus orders them not to go out there. That word order is the same Greek word that's used to describe the way Jesus dealt with people who were possessed by demons. Same Greek word. It's usually translated differently. But Jesus would command the unclean spirits to come out of those persons. That's how strongly Jesus is ordering his disciples not to go out there. This is the same Greek word that will be used to describe what we talked about last week, how the highest Jewish court in the land would call the apostles in and charge them. Same Greek word, though. Charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And when these apostles refused to be silent, they would have to be hauled back into this same court again, and they will find themselves standing in hot water before the same Jewish officials, and they will hear the same official spiel saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet you filled all Jerusalem with your teaching." And they will beat the apostles, and they will charge them again not to speak in the name of Jesus before they let them go. That's exactly how serious Jesus is charging, commanding, ordering his disciples not to go out from Jerusalem. but to wait until they were better prepared to go out into that spiritual storm that they would be going into. Because they needed to be, and we need to be better prepared. What are we doing to prepare? I hope that's why we're here this morning. I hope that's why some of our moms were so insistent upon bringing us up here. How many of you were brought up here in church or in church somewhere? It's an insistence with some of our families. We had to be there. No one in the Andrews household ever got up on Sunday morning and said, do we have to go to church this morning? I don't know what would have happened if somebody said that. Why were mom and dad so insistent upon going to church again? Didn't we go last week? Why are we going again and again and again? An insistence. Mom insisted that we be brought up in church as much as she ever insisted we wear a hat or a coat on a rainy day. Or a coat and gloves on a winter day. Or sunscreen on a sunny day. There are so many things that a truly caring mom will just absolutely insist upon because they're mom and they're a good mom, and we know they're a good mom because they really care. They really care that we're prepared before we go out there. In fact, there are so many things that a truly caring mom has to insist upon, it's enough to make some moms pull their hair out. Here's one mom that's struggling.
It's 5 a.m. Do you know where your children are? Mine are in bed. I should be in bed. It's Mother's Day, but I'm not. Want to know why? Because I'm a clean freak. I am talking freaky deaky Dutch. If you were to lock me away in a white room in a straitjacket, it would actually feel comforting. As long as the walls were spotless and nobody wore shoes. I can actually feel the house getting dirty. Like I have nerve endings in the carpet. And it affects me. Want to know how? First, I feel distracted. Distracted. D-I-S-O. See, like right now, I'm thinking of the cleaning supplies I left out and how one of the kids is going to get up and drink Clorox, and then I'd end up having to call poison control and they'd say, sorry, Mrs. Field, too many times this month, and take my kids away.
Too many times this month, Miss Field. We're here to take your children away.
I've played it all out.
I'm sure you've played this all out.
Which is kind of morbid. After I feel distracted, I feel stressed. Then I have a moment. Me having a moment with my daughter.
Hon, about the stress level.
What?
Well, it's a little high.
The kind of psycho thing you just did.
Did you just call me psycho?
No.
Did you just call me psycho?
No.
It was a little psycho. This is me having a moment with some helpless newlyweds.
We just wanted to say congratulations and savor this moment in your life.
So when I started to speak, I thought it would help. But then the words just started coming out of me like lava.
You're gonna blink, seriously, like blink, and it's all gonna be over and replaced with just volume, like just amazing, amazing, beautiful volume.
Look at that. Look at that look on her face. That's the look of a girl whose fairy tale just ended. I murdered it. I am a fairy tale murderer.
It can only take so much before you crack.
Help.
I am like the Bruce Banner of stay-at-home moms. He doesn't want to turn into the Hulk. It just happens. Which is exactly how I feel. I love my kids. I love my husband. My minivan is awesome. I have this incredible life. So why do I feel this way?
Well, why do moms feel that way? Because moms care. I mean, there's no reason to get stressed out about something you don't care about, right? But moms get stressed out. Good moms get stressed out because moms truly care. And if you're a mom here this morning who adds to all your stress by caring about the fact that you really care that your children and your grandchildren are spiritually prepared to go out there, then we want to commend you this morning. We want to honor you this morning, just as the Apostle Paul did when he wrote to his young protege Timothy saying, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your, who? In your grandmother, Lois. And in your mother, Eunice. And now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. That's our prayer for every mother, every grandmother here, that you experience the reward of seeing your faith passed down from one generation to another throughout your whole family. That's what we're going to see this morning in just a little bit in this service. I'm so looking forward to it. There is a family here that is trying to pass down their faith in the Lord Jesus from one generation to another throughout their family. And they're successful in doing it. That's what we're trying to see happen over and over again in all our families. Whose family will be next? Whose faith will be passed down next? Which generation will be the next to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior? Now, sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes a young person brings mom or dad or grandma or grandpa to Jesus. And I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's a few of those situations where the child brings the parent to faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes comes wisdom. Amen? And a mom or dad looks at the little heart of faith in the child, and they're drawn to the Jesus that the child has already been drawn to. And if that's the way you came to Christ through your children, you need to be thankful. Whichever way it happens, if it happens from the top down or from the bottom up, we need to be thankful. We can only thank the Lord that it happens at all and that there's another soul who is now spiritually prepared to go out there and face the real world where there are real spiritual threats that threaten our souls. We need to use this time that we have in here, this time of calm before the storm. We need to use this time to prepare better to go out there. Now, Seth is going to talk more about that next week in a sermon that he's entitled Powering Up While Things Are Still Calmed Down. But suffice it to say this morning, what we're talking about is God's gift of the Holy Spirit. We have a gift as a church that we'd like to give to every lady here this morning. I hope you receive your gift on your way out the door. But God's got a gift that He wants to give to everybody. God's got a gift of forgiveness. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment upon Himself so that we could be forgiven. But God's also got the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's got a piece of Himself He wants to give us. He's got a divine spark that He wants to put in our life for the rest of our life so that we can be prepared to do battle, the battle of our life in this present world. And this gift can be yours. One of the first recipients who was told to wait before going running half-cocked out into the storm, one of those first recipients said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit too. Because that is a gift that God wants to give. That's a gift God wants everybody to have. Because God, like a good mom, truly cares that you're prepared before you go out there. And God's people said, amen. Our armed forces do not send soldiers into battle without preparing them. Good coaches do not put players into a game without adequate preparation. And God certainly doesn't want to see anyone go running half-cocked out into a storm without His Holy Spirit to help them and to guide them and to bring them through the danger and one day home to Him in heaven. Now, if you'd like to talk to someone about the help that God offers to those who believe in Him, then please stop by our beginning point on your way out. We have people out there waiting to talk with you about how you can receive the gift that God has for you. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we do thank you for your Son Jesus and for those that have passed knowledge of Him down to us and have instilled within us a faith that we now trust that we have received forgiveness through His death on the cross in our place. We did not come to that knowledge on our own, but it was passed down to us. Some of us learned that from our moms. Some of us had such good moms. Help us now to continue passing the torch down from generation to generation, that others might receive your gift of forgiveness and your gift of the Holy Spirit. Might all of us exhibit your Spirit in our lives more clearly for the next generation, that they might see our love for you, our love for Jesus, and our guidance in the midst of a dark world. Help us, Lord. Go with us right to the very end of the earth. May someone this morning, maybe a mom, maybe a child, ask for help from you that you want to give them. May they turn from their sin and be buried in Christian baptism for their forgiveness and your gift of the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people say.